And we're going to get you some help from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. If you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and there's something ailing, let's find out what the heck is wrong with it. Call us or text us. Dan Burns has been with us for many, many years. How many, Dan? What are we figuring? 25 plus? Good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Denny. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's been at least 25 years.
And counting. All right. Good. Do you have a good week at Lloyd's?
We did have a good week at Lloyd's. Of course, it was warm. Still dealing with hot weather stuff, but from the sounds of your forecast, the cool future is bright, and I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, it's definitely some relief in sight with highs probably 71, 72 degrees after this weekend. Weekend looks really good, too, for any particular outside activities. I had a text that came in after the show last week. I don't want to have it in front of me, so I'm going to have to try to paraphrase it. But it was about the when you bring your car in for a car wash or it's just raining, a downpour, where does that water that hits the windshield go down? There's an area underneath the texter on the windshield wipers. That's kind of a grill, a grate. Where does that water go? Does it go into the engine compartment of this texter one and all?
Yeah, that's a good question, Denny, actually, because that can cause trouble, as you can imagine. The water from your windshield wipers and from the window, you know, from the windshield and all that, go down into a trough below underneath the hood, and then from that trough it drains out usually behind the wheel well somewhere, and you know, down onto the road, and there's no problem usually. However, from time to time, actually quite often, that trough, the drains for that trough will get plugged with debris from trees and so forth, especially if you park under trees, and a lot of people do, you know, out on the street where they park. Those troughs get plugged up with debris, and if those troughs get plugged up like they do and you get a heavy downpour, sadly, that water can then leak into the heating and air conditioning system, into the heating box inside the car, and fill the floor with water. And of course, that's a disaster. You do not want water introduced to the inside floor area of your vehicle, because there's all sorts of wiring, there's all sorts of connectors, and there's all sorts of computers that are stored underneath the seats and the flooring and all of that sort of stuff. And as we know, when you get electrical stuff wet, the long-term results of that is bad news. So that's a good question, and that's an important thing to check, or we do check that, actually. I don't know if you've noticed me do this on your oil change, Denny.
No,
but
I have not.
But when we, well, I don't have to on you because yours, because you park in a garage, but that's one of the things that we do when we change oil and open the hood, is clean all of that tree debris out from underneath the hood, so that it doesn't create problems like that.
All right. Well, I tell you what, thanks for that texter. Sorry we were a little late in getting to it, but if you have any kind of a car care question, you want to call it in or text it in, the same number applies. So call us or text. Keep in mind, Dan's going to be with us for just about another half hour, so don't wait. If you do have a problem with your vehicle and you want to find out what could be ailing, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. There was something. Oh, here's another text came in just a bit ago. What do you recommend for the plastic covering on headlights that have turned opaque? Maybe they mean that yellowing and whatnot that happens to the lens.
Very common that it, you know, it's beautifully clear. And I had this happen on one of my old vehicles, actually, Denny, and that opaque, that, you know, the clearness goes away. It gets kind of a foggy look to it. And I noticed that the effects of my headlights were very poor. Hmm. In other words, you know, as I get older, I need a lot more light to see better anyway. And when you have put a mask over your headlights, that's a bad deal, and you just can't see. So that's important. And professionally, there's a service that we do and all shops do, to buff those headlights clear again. You buff all of the old debris. Actually, it's almost sanding off the debris, and then repolish it so that it's clear and shiny again. And it's a, you know, about a, you know, it can be a 10-step process that you go through with different grades of abrasiveness, many of them made by 3M. And in the process, you can restore them back to just about perfect. They also make some stuff, you know, from the aftermarket that you can put on a an electric drill and things like that that are good. You know, they certainly help. But if you want the real long-term, you know, fixed like they're brand new again, I think to have them done professionally is probably the best way to go.
That's still the best, yeah. I know we have to break. We have callers on the line, and if you want to call in your question, that's great, too. Love to hear from you. 651-989-9226. So those folks on the phone, hang on. We're going to grab your calls right away when we come back. Or send a text, 651-989-9226. Come back and join us here on CCO's Car Care Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where, Dan?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
You're open till what, noon today or so?
Yeah, we're open till noon today. We're closed next Saturday. We always take the Saturday off on a long holiday weekend so everybody can have a break. But we're open this Saturday and most Saturdays.
It's kind of hard to believe we're heading into another month. Wow. All right, I'll tell you what, speaking of phone calls, and we're going to get Dan's phone number before he leaves us, and Dan will be here till just about 7:45, so if you have a question, car care question, call it in, text it, and don't wait, because you know we get kind of backed up. Let's go back to the phones. I think Evan and Egan is first up here with a question. Evan, what is your question for Dan?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm one of your loyal customers, so I was going to call you anyway, so this is great. It saves me a phone call. I have a 2009 Toyota Yaris. I have 260,000 miles. This happened to me for the second time. I was on 494, and I ran out of gas. And my fuel gauge is showing like 3 of the 8 lines left. So I'm wondering, is it a float in there, or is there a fuel pump that's causing it? It doesn't happen all the time, but now when I get towards that quarter of a tank, I'm getting a little nervous about it. So I didn't know what the issue was.
Well, that's a good idea to be a little nervous about that with your experience, because running out of gas can... At best, it's inconvenient. At worst, it can be dangerous. So that's a big deal. Yes, that can easily be checked. We have a tool, actually, that we can put down on the tank side of it and simulate the float on the fuel tank sender and see if the gauge on the dash is working properly. And if it is, then, of course, the problem is in the tank, on the sending unit in the tank. And, of course, the bad news of that is that, you know, the tank has to come out usually to access that. And so it's a pretty big job if that's what it turns out to be. And most commonly, that is what it turns out to be. It can either be that the float in there has gotten stuck for some reason or another, or that the bottom, you know, 1/4 of the sending unit, the contacts have gotten bad and it's no longer sending the proper message to the computer system and to the car. So, but that can pretty easily be checked out. So you just go ahead and schedule that in and we'll get that taken care of for you.
Very good. Thanks, Ethan. 651-989-9226. That's the phone number. It's also the text number, if that is easier to ask your question. 651-989-9226. Speaking of text, and I know you don't have prices with you all the time because you have your good helpers there that help you with that end of it. But the texter says, how expensive, and you have to help me with this, is a helic coil repair on the number 3 spark plug and a Ford 5.4 liter F-150.
Well, a helicoil repair ditty is when the threads have gotten damaged in any hole, and you can't get something to thread in there and tighten up properly. The threads have, in essence, been torn out. And the repair process is to drill it just a little bit bigger and then thread it a little bit bigger and then put in this little device called a helicoil, which then shrinks the hole back down to its, you thread that in, and it's like a little sleeve, kind of. And then it shrinks it back down to the proper size so that you can put the proper spark plug or bolt or whatever it is back in the hole. And depending on where it's located is all what matters on the price. You need to have access to it. It needs to be a straight shot because, of course, you need to drill it in perfectly straight and all that. You need to do the best you can do to keep the debris from falling inside the cylinder, causing all sorts of trouble after you get the repair done. So it can get expensive depending upon what has to be removed to access the hole. And we do them all the time. It's a very common repair, not only for spark plugs but for oil pans and a whole bunch of other things. A repair like that, and it's a good long-term repair, so it's probably worth doing. And most of the time when something like that is billed, it's just billed on an hourly rate. You pay for however long it takes to do the job, and that's what it costs.
Okay, very good. I'll tell you what, I know we have to break, but I want to grab a call from Carol, who's calling in from St. Paul this morning, and then we'll take a break. Carol, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Dan?
Hi. I have a 2017 Buick Enclave, and yesterday the air was working, and then it quit. It's really blowing out air. Great. And then we're kind of playing around with the buttons, and we get like a little burst of cold air, and then it would go right back to being warm air.
Yeah, I wonder if for some reason or another the refrigerant has leaked out, leaked down, and if that's the case, then when you go to turn it on, it'll turn on for just a few seconds until it realizes the pressure is too low, and then the system will shut itself down to protect itself. So it could be that the refrigerant has gotten low for some reason, and if you bring it into a shop, it'll be really easy to have that checked. The other thing that happens sometimes is if the cooling fans out in front of the either in front of or behind the radiator have stopped working, and the same thing happens. You turn it on for a minute, you get a little cool air, and then the pressures get too high, and then in that case, it will shut itself down for safety reasons again, and it won't work again until you shut it off, let the pressures go back to normal and turn it back on again, and you'll get another little blast. So something like that is going on, and good news is every shop in town has had lots of great experience with air conditioning, so it's fresh on everybody's mind, and everybody will be really good at it right now.
All right. Good news, Carol. All right. We need to take a break. Dan will be with us for about another 10, 12 minutes or so. If you have a question, I know we have text messages we want to field, but to call it in if you like, 651-989-9226. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, we have callers, we have texters, and I know we have limited time here, so let's get back to it. I think Wayne is waiting there in St. Louis Park to ask you a question. Thank you, Wayne. What is your question?
Hi, Dan. Hi, Danny. Good to be on your show. Love you big time.
Thank you.
So here's my deal. I got a 2003 GMC Denali Yukon, and so my radiator, I could drive around 10 miles, something like that, before it kind of heats up. So I went in and got a new thermostat that seemed to have wanted to fix the problem, but it's the radiator now that is failing on me. What's the difference? What does the thermostat do in comparison with the radiator?
Well, the thermostat actually controls the flow of coolant through the radiator. as the coolant flows through all the little tubes in the radiator and air blows over those tubes, the coolant gets cooled, and then it continues to circulate through the engine. In the morning when you start the vehicle up, so that it will warm up faster, the thermostat controls the flow of that. In other words, it stops or mostly stops the flow of the coolant. And so then the coolant will warm up quicker and you'll get better fuel economy and you'll get heat in your car quicker. So if the thermostat is stuck closed or the thermostat doesn't open soon enough, that certainly will cause it to overheat. And in the radiator, if the airflow is blocked for some reason with debris and so forth, that'll cause it to overheat. Or if the tubes themselves on the inside of the radiator have gotten plugged with calcium and those types of deposits, that will also cause the coolant not to flow through them, and that'll cause the vehicle to overheat. So they're all an intricate part of the same system, and in order for the system to work properly, they all need to be working properly.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate the comments. We were talking earlier about having the headlights professionally buffed, and a texter wants to know, is that expensive, that process?
You know, I don't know. It's probably, you know, $100 or something like that, or $130 or $40 maybe. I'm not sure exactly how much it is, Denny, but, you know, it takes, it's not a great deal for the shop because, quite honestly, it takes a long time. It takes well over an hour to do it. But, boy, the results, when they're done, are amazing. And if anybody has shopped, the price of replacing those headlights, especially on some of the fancy cars, those headlights can be ridiculous. So I think it's pretty good value to have it done that way.
Yeah. We have all sorts of great listeners, as you know, and some of which have been in the business like you for a long time. This texter says they worked for Toyota for 36 years, and this was in comment to that Yaris, the call about the gas tank, and said with the inaccurate fuel gauge, it will be a bad sending unit. The contacts get burned and give a false reading. Toyota has updated the part, so this will not happen again. So that's good information.
You know, there must be some good Toyota technicians that listen, because we get feedback on Toyotas from technicians pretty often, so I really appreciate that.
Right. Let's see. I think we have time for another one. Good morning, it says. We have a 2005 Suburban 8.1-liter engine. When we accelerate hard, there's a whistling or whining noise on the right side from under the hood. Any ideas?
Well, not without hearing it. Whistling or whining can mean so many different variations of things. That would be my first recommendation is, you know, take it into any shop. They'll be glad to take it for a drive and listen to it for you. Usually whistling and noises are either from airflow or fluid flowing and a restriction. And it creates a whistle, and so it's something like that that's going on. And like I say, if you put a professional ear on it, I think you'll get some pretty good information about what it is.
Another text, I think this is the last one we're going to be able to field here, wants to know what happens with the old oil that you change out of a car or batteries? How are they recycled, if they are?
Well, they're all recycled. Of course, the batteries get sent back, and they take the hazardous material out of it and dispose of that properly. And then the metals are all recycled and reused and put to good use. And the same thing with oil. You know, we have a big tank that we drain the oil into, and then there's a company that comes around and pumps it out of my tank and collects it and sells it to different services that use it for roads and petroleum type needs. So all of it gets recycled and reused, and that's good news. It's not only required by us to do that, but we're happy to do it. And we go beyond what's needed to be recycled because it's the right thing to do for the world.
Yeah, that's good news. Good news to hear. Well, Dan, for those that maybe need a little help and they want to bring the vehicle in, maybe call and make an appointment, or maybe have come in and you can sign your 8x10 glossy photographs or whatever the case may be. How do we get in touch with you guys?
Denny, I don't have my photographs. I have yours. I just hand those out.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but you know, you can give us a call. We'll be there this morning at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or come on over, 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria.
And a great place to shop, or maybe stop and have a bite to eat or whatever while you're getting a business taken care of at the Lloyd's. Always a fun time. And well, Dan, let's do this again next week if you have the time.
I'll be there, Denny. Glad to talk to you.
All right, as usual. Thanks, Dan. My pleasure.